Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. All of Psalm 100. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, verses 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you for the power that permeates your word. Thank you for the grace that flows from your word. Thank you for the encouragement, the strength that fills your word. And thank you for the opportunity we have one-on-one spending time with you daily in your word each and every day. Thank you for the gift, the privilege, and the weapon of prayer and the opportunity to live lives given to prayer. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would empower us to be the people rooted in your word and the people of prayer, we, your church, that you've called us to be. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. And more, help us to make these vital parts of our daily walk with you, vital parts of our homes, and a vital part of the life of our church families. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, I just want to ask that you'd create a deeper, deeper, deeper hunger in our hearts. Heavenly Father, I ask that we'd hunger more for reading scripture. I ask that we'd hunger more for spending time in prayer, that we'd hunger more for feeling your presence. Heavenly Father, I ask that we'd hunger more for loving our neighbor as you have loved us. And so, Heavenly Father, I just ask that today in this broadcast that we'd set our minds on you and be open and ready to receive whatever you have for us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, want to begin by sharing a discipleship article, a tool. And once again, we're encouraging you to email us to get a copy of it as a tool for your own walk with the Lord, a tool for discipling your family, but also a tool to forward and share with others in their walk with the Lord as well. This article is entitled, Your Daily Appointment with God. Again, Your Daily Appointment with God. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Again, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Believers would be wise to decide to feed our spirits better than we feed our bodies. Obviously, we feed our bodies physical food. How do we feed our spirit? We feed our spirit the Word of God. Often we feed our bodies two or three meals a day. Well, a good basic diet for our spirit is reading at least three chapters in the Word of God every day. Time spent reading and meditating on God's Word daily and consistently is very productive and fruitful in some wonderful ways. It's basically like having a daily appointment with God. It's a consistent opportunity to spend time every day one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Word of God, you're interacting with Jesus. You're spending time in the presence of your Heavenly Father. What a tremendous, blessed, and great opportunity this is. Think about it. You have personal time every day with your Heavenly Father. You get to spend time each day with and in the presence of the Creator of the universe. A great truth to know and understand is that the Word of God ministers to and blesses your mind, body, and spirit. When you're reading the Word of God, grace pours into you and into your life. What a tragedy and what a tremendous missed opportunity it is daily if you're so busy that you just don't get around to spending time in God's Word each day. I'm so busy, I don't have time to have an appointment with anyone, God or anyone else, some might say. To which some would reply, oh, I would never say that about not having time to spend with God. Yet we don't have to say it with our words. Our actions actually speak loud and clear for us. For too many people, their actions say, God, I don't have time for you. So though we would never say it with our words, our actions clearly speak for us. In order to have a daily appointment in the Word of God, we have to make time to do it. We need to prioritize taking time to spend with God in His Word. This is a big sacrifice for me to do this every day, some might say. How tragically silly we in our humanness can be. Who's busier, God or you? Who has more on their plate to deal with, our Heavenly Father or you and I? Yet God, with all He has to do in overseeing the universe, will take as much time with you as you'll spend with Him. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22 tells us, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. It's very important and significant to note a very critical truth in the passage above. Again, those were verses from Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. The actual word, Hebrew word for health in verse 22 is the word medicine. So it's very true and accurate to state that the Word of God is medicine to all our flesh. It's medicine to our physical bodies, and it's actually medicine and nourishment to our entire being. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, we're told, for I am the Lord, your healer. In other words, Christ is our great physician, and He is medicine, and His medicine is the Word of God, and Christ is the Word of God. Decide to take the supernatural medicine of the Word of God every single day. When you and I spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God, we're taking a dose of God's medicine, His powerful Word. God's Word ministers to our mind, body, and spirit with no bad side effects. Psalm 103 speaks of some of the benefits that come from Christ, who is the Word of God. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Again, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. An interesting observation I've made over the years as a pastor in interacting with believers who have been faithful students of reading God's Word daily is that they often seem to have a more youthful appearance than persons who don't read and study consistently. In other words, they look significantly younger than their age when they're consistent students of Scripture. And again, it just happens to be a personal observation I've made as a pastor. Yet this is not surprising to me at all. I believe that it simply illustrates the truth mentioned in verse 5 of Psalm 103. This is just one more of the many blessings that come from reading God's Word every single day. Let's be wise enough to make spending time in the Word of God one of, if not the highest priority of our day. Choosing to spend time with God and His Word daily is one of the most fruitful habits in all of life. Reading 3 chapters a day is a great goal to strive for. Also, parents, if you choose to start having each of your children read 3 chapters aloud to you daily, this can be some of the most fruitful time you'll spend every day of your life as a family, for them and for you. Today is a great day to get started with blessed habits like these in your life and in your home. Again, the title of that article, Your Daily Appointment with God. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And then this next one, again, of course, is one we've shared before, and I'm only sharing a portion for obvious reasons. It's praying daily for your spouse. And, of course, this is a Bible-based prayer that you can pray. I'm going to take a moment to pray it for my wife and demonstrate how you can pray it for you as husbands. And, of course, wives, the same prayer is printed for you to pray for your husbands as well. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gift my wife Birdie is to me, to our family, to the church and the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, bless my wife Birdie today indeed. Expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. Help me this day to be the full blessing to her that you would have me to be, in Jesus' name. Fill her today with your joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, your joy, and your peace. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer that you want her to spend today, in Jesus' name. Help her to put you first in her life. Help her to make no graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet, in Jesus' name. Empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you would have her to be and in your will. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, and thank you for the gift Birdie is to me. Dear Lord, bless Birdie and keep her. Make your face to shine upon her. Be gracious to her. Dear Lord, lift up your countenance upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, of course, that's the prayer that a husband can pray for his wife. And in the same article, there's the prayer the wife can pray for her husband as well. And keep in mind, it doesn't take but just a few minutes, but it's a great way to love your spouse and to bless your spouse on a daily basis. So again, both articles, if you'd like to get a copy of each, the first one, Your Daily Appointment with God, and the second article, Praying Daily for Your Spouse, just email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you again, joseph@afr.net. Father, thank you, Lord, again, for every believer that's a part of our listening family, and thank you for the opportunity we each have of being able to walk with you daily as we spend time in your word and in prayer. And thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to encourage and minister and disciple our spouses and our children as well, whether they're young children or adults. Help us to be wise enough to make it a priority to be disciples and to make disciples as a lifestyle. Teach us by the power of your Spirit to have an anointing on us so great and faithfully walking in such a way that we disciple people as we go day by day. And help us to be mindful, too, that the wonderful gift of prayer is a great tool to help us to do as your word has told us, to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Help us to grow in our understanding that as we pray, prayer releases the Spirit of God and the grace of God to work in and upon the matter that we pray for. So help us to, again, be the good stewards you fully want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
From getting through. We do. that you could see it all made new. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
The music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're very honored to have as our phone guest today Pastor Nathaniel Fugate. He's the pastor of Shreve Community Church in Shreve, Ohio. Pastor Nate, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Honored to have you on as our phone guest today, and had the privilege of meeting you by phone a few weeks ago, and grateful to have you as our guest today. Pastor Nate, as we begin, would you take time now to further introduce yourselves, tell our listeners more about yourself, and also about Shreve Community Church in Shreve, Ohio?
Of course. So I am an ordained elder within the Global Methodist Church. I was originally ordained in the United Methodist Church, and there was a split over some structural and theological differences within the church. And so that's how I ended up coming to Shreve. I'm originally from Western Pennsylvania. And I like to tell people I kind of accidentally fell into the ministry. I originally went to college at Wheaton College in Chicago to study philosophy and economics, my goal being to be a businessman in Chicago. And I tell people I wanted to make lots of money, and that was kind of my goal. And when I got to school and started taking classes, I found that even though I loved economics, I didn't really like my economics professors. And so I dropped that major and continued studying philosophy. And then as I kept going, I realized that there was a lot of overlap between the philosophy requirements and the theology and biblical studies requirements at the school. And a little bit of my pride kicked in and said, well, I want to have two majors. I want to have two specialties that I have. And so I started picking up some of those classes and did end up majoring in theology from Wheaton College. And it was through that process and through an opportunity to go and study in the nation of Israel for 6 months that God began pulling at me towards ministry within the church. And I did an internship over one of the summers to raise money for my trip at a United Methodist Church in Dubois, Pennsylvania, and it was through that process that God really awakened me to the fact that, yeah, I actually could do something like this, something like ordained ministry, and that God had gifted me and blessed me in that. And so from graduation at Wheaton, I started actually working at Lakeside in Dubois, that United Methodist Church that I was at. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I came into ministry. It was through an internship that I was just trying to raise some money for classes that God ended up calling me into this. And so
Pastor Nate, before you go further, I want you to pick up right where you left off in your story, though. But Would you pray for our listeners to have ears to hear what the Lord wants to say to them? Because amongst other things, my guess is there are probably people listening who may be similar to you, who may have never thought about the idea of going into ordained ministry, that God may very well be calling them, who need to be listening to what God is going to say to them. So would you just pray for our listeners that they would receive whatever the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today as well?
Absolutely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are calling workers out into the vineyard at all times. And Lord, I know there are some here that are being called in the first hour, in the sixth hour, in the 12th hour to go out and to work, and that you have promised to pay and reward everyone who goes and works. And so, Father, I pray for those listeners who you might be calling into ordained ministry, that you might make that clear, whether they are starting out their professional careers or whether or not they are late in the game. Lord, you call us from all walks of life. And so, Lord, I ask that you would make that clear to those who you are calling to ordained ministry. I ask that for those who are calling to different kinds of ministry, Lord, that you would make that clear to them as well. Father, as we talk and as we reflect on what you're doing in the world, Lord, speak to us again a new understanding of what you want from us as disciples of Jesus Christ, so that we can be a part of your work to bring heaven here, to make our earth look like the kingdom of God. And so, Father, we ask that in your mercy you would hear our prayers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a fascinating ministry story. I appreciate you sharing. But if you'll please do pick up where you left off there.
So I went and became ordained in the United Methodist Church and served at a few churches. And then when the split happened within our denomination, I got called to Ohio. It was a big jump for me, going from kind of a very small town in western Pennsylvania to a relatively large church here in Shreve. But really, it's God's grace working through that, because oftentimes when we're called into new areas, God reveals the weaknesses that we have ourselves. And that has certainly been the case since becoming the pastor here at Shreve. God's shown me the things that I need to continue to grow on and the things that I need to die to myself as the pastor in order to help lead this congregation well. But it's been incredibly rewarding. Shreve Community Church has been a place of outpouring of blessings to our community, of trying to use our facilities and the resources that we have to bless the people around us through. We've been doing some parenting classes. We're looking at doing some conferences and other things that will hopefully be a resource not only for our town, but also for the other churches in our area, so that as the body of Christ together, we can be working to revive our area, and so that people might hear the good news of Jesus Christ for them.
Mm. All right. Well, I again appreciate you sharing that. If someone wants to get in touch with you or with the church or might want to come visit, tell them how they could do that.
Well, you can get in touch with me or the church through my email address. You can reach me at Rev, R-E-V, Nate Fugate, N-A-T-E-F-U-G-A-T-E, at gmail.com. That's the easiest way to get in touch with me, or really the church here in Shreve. And Shreve is not a very big town. It's only about 1,300 people. And so if you wanted to come visit, you can basically pull up to anybody walking on the street and say, where's the Methodist church? And they'll point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, again, thank you again for just sharing your heart. And you know what? I would mention, Pastor Nate, one of the reasons why I find it very helpful to have pastors that are boldly committed to the Word of God on the broadcast is because pastors are in a unique position to speak to issues in our culture from a Bible perspective. And so I want to ask you, from your perspective as a pastor in our nation, with all that's going on, both things that obviously that we see in the news cycle, but issues that our culture are facing, what would you say are some of the biggest issues that we do face as the church in our nation today?
Boy, Well, there's certainly a lot of things that I could point to. A need for evangelism, first and foremost. I think that we have we've atrophied as a church in our ability to speak the truth about Jesus Christ in a convincing and winsome way that comes from our heart and comes from experience. That's one of the things that we've worked on here at Shreve, is to work on, hey, we're expected to tell people, we're expected to be witnesses, and if we're not doing that on a regular basis, we're going to become very weak in that area. And so that's certainly one of the top ones. As far as cultural issues, one of the things that I've been most passionate about, because I think it is the most important cultural issue, is with regards to life and the protection of the unborn, with regards to abortion, and even beyond that, just how we treat the unborn, and recognizing or not recognizing the image of God in which they are created. And so that's something that I have dedicated a lot of my admittedly short life to working with and changing the culture both inside of the church and outside of the church.
Mm. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing those specifics. You know, obviously, as you touch on it, every believer has a responsibility to help carry out the Great Commission. We're all to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship, whether we fully understand that or not, and God's Word actually is very clear there. But also just the life issue is one of those issues that's so foundational to everything, because in view of the fact that we live in a world, or live in a nation, that basically says it's okay to murder babies, and again, obviously, it's been outlawed in some states, basically. But as a nation, we still allow the murder of babies. What else would we not allow? And so understanding as the church that that's foundational, and that the church is to take, just basically our responsibility, of course, is seeking God's heart. So would you pray for believers to grow in their understanding of taking responsibility for issues such as you mentioned, evangelism, discipleship, and the life issue? Would you pray that believers will just really seek to find out, God, what do you want me to do to help address these things? Would you pray along that line?
Of course. Heavenly Father, you have called us all to be witnesses to your glory, to share our experiences of your power and of your grace that has been shown to us in our lives. Father, your scriptures tell us to always go back and to remember the goodness of God. And so, Father, I pray right now that for the listeners, that they would be reminded of your grace and your power that has shown up in their lives. Moments where they have understood and felt your forgiveness, have been healed, have been saved from sin and temptation. Lord, you continue to do good things. And so I ask that the listeners right now would remember your acts of kindness and of grace. I ask that that memory would stoke a fire within their hearts and souls, that they would have an earnest desire that others would get to experience that same goodness that they have, that you would fill them with a fire to go out and to share that would not be quenched, that would not be cut down or diminished in any way, but that it would burn within them until they have gone and shared and made disciples of Jesus Christ by the power of your Spirit. I pray also that you would awaken listeners and our country in general, to the plight of the unborn. Lord, that you would help people to understand and to see the humanity of these precious little babies. Lord, that you would help all of us as members of the body of Christ to stand up and to intercede on behalf of these children that have no voice of their own. Lord, just as Christ intercedes before us at the throne, Lord, may we imitate Christ by interceding here on earth for those who have no voice. And so, Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Nate, I want to ask you specifically, if, say, an individual, say he's a lay person in the church, wants to say, well, Pastor Nate, I hear you and other pastors talk about evangelism and discipleship, and I just kind of thought, well, that's what we pay you all to do. How should I get involved with evangelism and discipleship? How would you respond to that question?
Well, it's a good question. It's a question I've actually handled a few times in the churches that I've been at, because there does seem to be a disconnect between this idea of evangelism as a profession and as a calling, and evangelism as a general aspect of the priesthood of all believers. Now, Paul does name evangelism as, or evangelists as, one of the particular roles within the body of Christ, and I think that God has certainly blessed individuals with a passion and a calling and an ability to connect with people and to share their faith. I worked with a man named Paul, ironically, at my first church, who certainly had that. He was a layperson that was blessed with the power of an evangelism, and he would go to Walmart and he would just talk with people, and I would go with him and I'd be amazed at just how people would open up and connect with him in ways that I couldn't possibly imagine. And so I do think that there are certain individuals that God has blessed with those gifts, but I don't think that negates from our general call to be witnesses.
Pastor Nate, I'm
going to
have to jump in here and pick up on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Pastor Nathaniel Fugate. He's the pastor of Shreve Community Church, Shreve, Ohio. We'll be right back. Toby Mac with City on Our Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Nathaniel Fugate. He's the pastor of Shreve Community Church in Shreve, Ohio. And Pastor Nate, I really appreciate you sharing about your friend Paul, as we were speaking of a moment ago, that maybe you can write a blog about Paul, the Walmart evangelist, and that, like, I really think people hearing about someone like him, they may think, well, he's kind of strange or sort of unusual. But on the other hand, he should be the norm. The fact is, we should be passionate about what Jesus is passionate about. And of course, the fact is, Jesus wants us to take as many people with us to heaven as we can. And so would you pray for believers to grow to where they have a passion about the things Jesus is passionate about in the way of evangelism and discipleship as well?
Of course. Heavenly Father, Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And he was so passionate about that he was willing to go through the passion to suffer and to die so that we might be saved and given eternal life. Lord, we pray for even just a fraction of Christ's love and passion for the world. Lord, I pray for the listeners today that you would awaken something within them, that they would not be content until they have gone out and loved the world like Jesus has loved the world, until their hearts are made to be imitations of Jesus's heart, and until they have gone and fulfilled the Great Commission to make disciples by being a witness to God's glory. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take out our hearts of stone, that you would replace them with hearts of flesh that love and have compassion on a world that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we ask that in your mercy you would hear our prayers. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Nate. Now, Pastor Nate, you've also shared how that you have a heart for the life issue, the heart, and you, as a pastor, you're really seeking to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Now, I want to ask if you'd share a little bit more about why that's important. And I guess I would say this to Pastor Nate, in my years as a pastor as well, I found that for a lot of pastors, they're either timid about this issue or they really try to avoid it. And that's tragic because, as the statistics tells us, one out of every three or four women have had abortion. So that means that, sadly, abortion is so widespread in our culture that it touches every congregation. Why would you say it's important for pastors to really seek to have God's heart boldly for the life issue?
Well, I would first say that I understand where pastors are coming from because I was once there. I remember in college, this was a big turning point for me with my wife, who kind of dragged me kicking and screaming into this ministry and into this work. Was I had said, "Yeah, I'm pro-life. I believe that the unborn are human beings and that we should protect them." But I said, "It's not really my fight. It's not really my issue. Other people can worry about that, but it's not really my thing." And I remember my wife in the downstairs of one of those buildings at Wheaton looking me dead in the eye and saying, "Nate, if hundreds of thousands of kindergartners were being pulled out of school and executed behind the school, you would have something to say about it. And yet you have nothing to say about this." And that was a kick in the gut for me because it was my wife really calling me out and making me recognize the disconnect between what I said I believe and what I was actually doing in the world. Mm. And so that was the big change in my life of recognizing, yeah, these are human beings that are loved by God. And if I'm called to love like Jesus loved, then I need to work and to be an advocate on their behalf. And you're right, it is so pervasive in our culture and in our country. It's almost like the air that we breathe, that we often don't see or recognize the extent of how deep this goes. Mm-hmm. Like you said, one in three or one in four women have had an abortion. I mean, pastors, I'd encourage you to just look out on your congregation and start counting off every four women that you see. And that kind of puts it in perspective of, yeah, this is the major issue that we are facing today. And not only that, but it gets to the core of what we believe as Christians, and saying that human beings are made in the image of God, that they've been given eternal value and worth that's worth fighting for and protecting. If we can't recognize that in the unborn, then I think it's very easy to extend that even beyond that to other human beings. We have a history of that in our world of saying that people are less than and therefore not worthy of the same rights and protections. And so that would be my encouragement to pastors is I know where you're coming from. I understand the threat that might come with speaking out, but if we're not willing to speak out about this, I don't know if there's anything greater than this. And as Jesus said, those who are faithful in a little will be faithful in a lot. I think that we need to be faithful in this, in speaking the truth about this.
Mm. Well, I do appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your heart on that issue. And I think of this, that there really is a need for us to understand that the Holy Spirit, he knows how to do everything perfectly. He's an expert at everything. He's always speaking, but sometimes any one of us may not really be listening like we think we are. You know, I think of just like that beautiful example you shared of how that the Lord used your wife to help open your eyes further to this issue. The reality is we live in a culture full of blindness that comes in many different forms. And we start with the Word of God. We start with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Yet God does use individuals who are willing to boldly speak truth, that sometimes that's how any one of our eyes are opened up. So would you pray for more and more of the eyes of the church to be opened? And, you know, I think of this. It's not for me or anyone else to tell another person what to do about the life issue. It's for them to listen to God for themselves. But if they're really listening, probably God has an assignment probably for every single listener. Would you pray for the church to really seek God's heart on what he'd have each of us to do to help stand for life and against abortion?
Of course. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are constantly working in your church to perfect and to purify us so that we might be the spotless and blameless bride of Christ. Lord, we ask that you continue to do that, especially when it comes to life issues,
yes.
That you would reveal what you want for us from your church. Lord, that we as your body might act and operate in the world in accordance with your will. Lord, we pray for wisdom and discernment for church leaders and for parishioners all over our country, that they may understand what your will is, that they may have the courage to stand where you tell them to stand, to speak the truth, even to our own hurts sometimes for your glory. And so, Father, reveal to us what you want from us. Help us to proclaim boldly and in love the truth that you have for us and about our fellow human beings that are made in your image. And so, Lord, help us to protect the image of God that you've placed here on earth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for Pastor Nate and his wife, and thank you for the church family that they serve, and thank you for pastors and churches that really do seek to discern your heart and to carry out your heart as it relates to addressing the life issue. Help us to know, Lord, that in view of the fact that we live in a culture that allows the murder of unborn babies, help us just to really be your hands and feet to really do what you'd have us to do, to be involved with supporting ministries that are on the front lines, be involved with being individual witnesses who speak to this issue, and help us to know, Lord, as we also speak to individuals and maybe persons who are facing an unplanned pregnancy, that we can speak the truth in love to help them know what's right and what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you. Stir us, set us on fire afresh with a passion to be the church that's representing you in our words, our actions, our attitude, our approach to what we do in standing boldly for life and against the tragedy of abortion. And help us, Lord, to end the tragedy of legalized abortion in our nation. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Nate, our time is just about completely gone. But thank you again for being with us today. And just a question once again, if someone wants to be in touch with you or learn more about the work and the ministry of Shreve Community Church, tell them how they can do that.
Yes, the ministry that my wife and I do. We do advocacy work for the unborn, particularly workshops and trainings to help people to know how to speak about sensitive topics like this and winsome and to change debates about things like abortion to more dialogues that actually engage people where they're at. But people can reach me at my email. It's Rev, R-E-V, Nate Fugate, N-A-T, E-F-U-G-A-T-E at gmail.com. Rev Nate Fugate at gmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Nate, so much for being with us. And please continue the great work that you're doing as you provide leadership for the Shreve Community Church family and that community, the Kingdom community as a whole. Thanks for being with us today, okay?
Thank you for having me.
And again, want to remind all of our listeners that seeking God's heart, just asking God, Lord, what would you have me to do about the wonderful work of evangelism, the work of discipleship, the work of standing for life? Don't be afraid to ask. And many times you'll find that God may, his response may be, I've been waiting for you to ask. There's so much work to be done. May we all be about our Heavenly Father's business every day. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to ask him to come in your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to save you and make you brand new, he will gladly do that. If you want to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we would like to connect with you and be in touch with you. My email again, it's joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. So please definitely get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And if you'd like to get a copy of one or both the articles that we shared towards the beginning of the broadcast, again, the first one, Your Daily Appointment with God, and the second one, Praying Daily for Your Spouse, same email, joseph@afr.net. Be glad to get those to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.